Blog Talk Radio.
Woo! There it is.
Where's that storm? Oh, did it cut off?
It's coming.
There it is. British lady for cueing us in, but I reckon I should thank the spooky guy with the pipe organ that looks like one of my ex-girlfriends. Thank you for breaking us into Pop Culture Stars, Stardate 12-21-22. Hope everybody's doing fantastic this evening. I am your host, Dave Atwell, here in a chilly, chilly willy Jacksonville, North Carolina. Though it will not hold me back from my bad habits. So as I light up this delicious cigar from Godfather Cigars here in Jacksonville, I'm going to kick it around to my esteemed panel, and then we're going to get on to tonight's topic, manner stuff. First off, hailing from the wonderful state of Arkansas, that is destined to be butthole deep in snow by this weekend. Granny Hulkster, how are you doing this evening?
Well, I'm doing well. I mean, I don't think we're going to be deep in snow. I mean, I've heard anywhere from a slight dusting to possibly 5 inches. But the thing I'm more concerned about is the wind chill warnings. You know, they're talking negative 25 to 30 degree wind chills with 40 mile to 50 mile an hour winds, which would make the snow blow like blizzard-like conditions. But I'm hoping that it just kind of misses us altogether. But you know, we'll just have to wait and see. But I'm doing well. I'm, you know, ready for the holidays. You know, my wonderful husband and I just celebrated our 13th wedding anniversary this past Monday. We've been together 19
yeah.
years, but we've been married 13 years, and I'm a very blessed woman. I am very blessed. So, and like I said, he's a wonderful and amazing husband and a wonderful and amazing father to my son, and we just couldn't be happier, so.
Granny, this is Dr. John. I'm going to interrupt, and I'm going to say that based on what I know about you, your husband got a peach of a wife. And that's what we say down
Dr.
here.
Dr. John, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Georgia may be the peach state, but we grow a boatload of peaches down here. So he got a peach. Okay, I'm sorry. I'll uninterrupt now.
And not the peach pit. Which
no,
could be
no.
in some other cases. So, yes, big happy anniversary to you and David. Good to hear you guys enjoying it. And many, many more happy years ahead,
thank
hopefully.
You.
It's up to you how many happy ones you want to have, you know. So, you know, don't let me wish any too many happy years on you. Don't really want them. Just kind of keep cautiously happy. How's that? Good to have you aboard this evening. Thank you for joining us tonight. Now, I'm going to kick it to the Northeast, where they will be probably butthole deep on a Tyrannosaurus deep in snow, where the alpacas will be cooling their fur in the white fluffy stuff and doing other sketchy activities. Tim, let's shake it.
Those alpacas are going to be in the newly padded barn. I just got done putting a bunch of straw down, and I've got their buckets ready for the feed. I got the electric warming buckets for their water, so they are going to be cozy during this next batch of Snowmageddon. Next batch meaning continuation from last year, whenever we had the last Snowmageddon. So it all starts the first day of winter is going to basically ring in the new season with a bang. Tomorrow, similar to Granny, we're going to get, I think the last predictions I heard were 3 to 6 inches of snow. We had heard a lot more than that. Of course, you know, when the thing first comes on the radar over on the West Coast, pardon me if you hear my son playing piano in the background. I try to isolate, but I can't get away from all the noises. Anyway, in the early days of talk of this storm, it was predicted they were talking, you know, oh, this could be up to 15 inches of snow, blah, blah, blah. So who knows? By the time we get here, I could be looking at a light shower. I never know. But the way I know how it's going to turn out, there's going to be some wind because I'm going to usually freak my butt off with the first good storm and the wind here. So winter would be okay with me if we didn't have the wind, you know. I would not mind it. Put on gloves and a hat and a heavier sweatshirt, and I'd be good to go. But you always add in that little pinch of wind. And for some reason, what's the deal with gas stations? You go to a gas station, and all of a sudden the miles per hour, like, increases by 50. I'll never understand that today. Yeah, pumping gas is just the absolute nightmare. I feel like I end up looking like the guy they always make the memes of from, The Shining, you know, where he's out there sitting in his froze death. That's what I always feel like when I go to a gas station. But other than that, I'm doing great. I'm keeping cozy in my nice $800 heated home. That's what the utility bill is going to round out to, as I mentioned in the green room. But I'm looking forward to a great show tonight.
Yeah, dude, I'll tell you what, that heat bill is plain vulgar. I'm not even going to get started on that. That is wrong, absolutely wrong. I can only imagine what people less fortunate, you know, when it comes down to less fortunate, you know, that perhaps don't have jobs or have lesser grade of housing and that kind of stuff. It's okay, though, when they start carting stiff bodies out of these houses, the blame rests on every voter out there. So I'm going to leave it at that because we're going to have a happy show tonight, damn it, and I won't talk about the current leadership, damn it, I won't do it. But Tim, definitely great to have you aboard tonight, man. Hopefully you won't get too bad off. And I agree with you. The weather right here, right now, I'm looking at a semi-clear sky, and the rain starts coming down. So that's the kind of asinine stuff that we've got going on here. So I'm going to go under even the house, abandon my beer, which I probably should have carried with me and set beside me. That wasn't real strategic. So let's walk back over there, get wet. And when you get wet, and it's cold, that means you get colder. Fetch said malt beverage and return to the dry spot or semi-dry spot. Cool. Anywho, Tim, great to have you aboard this evening, man. Looking forward to tonight's show. Now, lastly, our good brother, hailing from the planet, Anus U8. Thank you. Dr. John, what's going on?
Oh, hey, Dave. You know, Dave, I just learned a skill from you. I really did. When I host ScaryCast, I'm at my guest within 60 seconds, and the guest is being fired upon within 90 seconds. And you let everybody have a chance to talk and say hello, and I like that. I've learned something about hosting a podcast tonight. Great job. So, but anyway,
well,
thanks. I'm just glad
to be here. Because I'll talk through the rest of the damn show. So, I mean, you know, 98% me, 2% everybody else, and I do it all in the introduction. So,
No, dude. It's great. I'm glad to be here. I had to run to Charleston and actually to Monk's Corner to do a little bit of business this afternoon and just was out trying to see if people needed some life insurance because I have a new flyer that I'm giving everybody. Did you know that inflation has been 15% in the last 3 years? 15%.
Yeah, that's nuts.
And it's nuts, and it's actually, I know it's more than that, especially on food. So just everybody Godspeed and be careful about what you buy and get a second or third job. That's what I got to say. But anyway, it's great to be here tonight with my friends, my Romans, my countrymen, and I won't make them lend me their ear. Picasso did something about that, didn't he? No, that was Van Gogh. Van Gogh cut his ear off. He said, someone said to him, lend me your ear, and he did. Golly.
Yeah, that's
all right. Great to be here. It really is.
It's when they say, lend me your rear is when you need to run. Not lending that to anybody. Thanks for asking, though. It's not going to happen. What was the other thing with the that was Little Rascals, wasn't it, Froggy, when he was doing it? And they kept doing the spitballs at him, and he pulled the shield up.
Ooh, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I know Little Rascals. I don't remember, though, on that one.
Damn, I would totally expect Dr. John and Granny Hulkster to jump all over that one, and Tim, the youngster of the bunch, going, yeah, I know Little Rascals. God, Jesus.
Well, I remember Little Rascals. I mean, I remember Little Rascals.
Yeah. There we
go. So.
Okay, it's okay to come out of the closet and show us your age. It's all good.
Hey, I am proud to be 60 years old, Dave Atwell. I am very proud to be 60 years old, okay?
You can be like me, 52-year-old heart, a 12-year-old mind, and 86-year-old knees. I'm just
Exactly. I've got those bionic knees. I've had both of my knees replaced, so.
Well, Dave, this is Dr. John. I'm certain that your lovely wife is very confused with that statement you just made. She's got a 12-year-old? That's enough.
Yeah,
golly.
She had plenty of time to run, and she hasn't done it, and I constantly bring home boxes to drop the hint, but she won't put her stuff in them and go. So she's got nobody to blame but herself at this point.
Okay.
That's right. Yeah, as a matter of fact, she's in there right now wrapping Christmas presents. And if there's three things I can't do in this world is dance, back up a trailer, and wrap Christmas presents. So she gets all bent out of shape every Christmas because she's got all the stuff that she wants wrapped. And I'll just go in there with a fistful of bags and drop everything in a bag and just throw it in the corner. And she's like, "This is not how you're supposed to do it." I was like, "You asked for my help, you got it." So, over the years, she's figured out to just don't even bother asking, just do it herself. But, man, she gets in there, and she gets so fired up. And now that we've got the four dogs in here, she'll get all spread out. Next thing you know, you hear crunch, crunch, crunch. And she'll be, "Misty, get out of here," because Misty's walking across the damn wrapping paper or something. So, good times. That's why I was looking forward to tonight's show, because I'd come out here and enjoy a cigar and a couple damn alcoholic beverages while she's in there in a fight for her life, trying to get those presents
wrapped. Slaving over a hot gift-wrapping table. That's what she's doing.
That's
uh-huh.
right. That's all right. I've been cleaning floors all day. I have no guilt. I think I've done like 14 damn loads of laundry. And my damn laundry drain is backed up. You've all ever had a laundry drain that's backed up? You know, when your washing machine goes into the... It's the worst, man. I cannot get this thing. I've jetted it. I've put liquid plumber down it. I'm trying all kinds of stuff, but I don't know what is caught down there. But, man, we're having to do. As a matter of fact, Dr. John, when you called earlier, I was doing the bucket brigade when I was talking to you, where I'm emptying the, instead of putting the hose in the drain, I'm putting it in a bucket, filling the bucket up, turn the washing machine off, run the bucket outside, dump it, bring it back in. Luckily enough, I got Rob. Rob's probably gone up three bra sizes from humping them heavy buckets of water outside for me today. But yes, I have no guilt about leaving my spouse in there struggling with the 3M Scotch tape and the scissors and everything else. Marriage is bliss. Tough luck. So enough my smart ass marital advice for the world. We're going to kick it into tonight's topic, which oddly enough on December 21st is going to be Christmas and New Year. I know that's probably a surprise to you guys, but nevertheless, figure tonight we'll and Dr. John had a wonderful idea to do the old Scrooge kind of guide on the Christmas show tonight, where we'll kind of address Christmas past, Christmas present, and Christmas future. But less chain jingling and graveyard visiting and that kind of cool stuff. So nevertheless, Granny Hulkster, I'm going to slap it on your side of the net and give us a quick Christmas past that kind of gives you that warm Christmas fuzzy when you think about it.
Well, when I first moved to Arkansas with my mom and my dad and my son, you know, being a single mom for all the years that I was, you know, I didn't get any kind of assistance. I couldn't get food stamps. You know, I had to work. I didn't get child support. And one year, somebody had given my son's name the school. It was like a local organization like Kiwanis or, you know, Rotary Club, something. And they brought all these presents and stuff to the schools, you know, to the elementary schools. And, you know, these kids got Christmas presents. I mean, you know, he came home and not only did he get a couple of really nice things, but they had a couple of nice things for me. And then one night we went to the grocery store to get groceries, and we came home, and then there was a box of food sitting on my front porch with a Christmas card made out of construction paper, you know. Don't know who it came from. I don't know if it was from a church or an individual. I have no clue. But that was just super nice to come home and find that box of food sitting on my front porch by my front door.
Yeah, how cool is that? Yeah, pardon me, I had the thing on mute while I was under attack here from the ospreys overhead, so I put it on mute, and here I am talking away, and I'm like, yep, pulling a tide here. I got the mute button engaged. Yeah, see, that's great, and that's the kind of stuff at Christmas time that I think we have a tendency of losing our sight on sometimes unintentionally, you know, because you get so wrapped up in the Christmas mojo that sometimes you forget, and I say you, I mean people in general, stop and forget that, hey, it's more than just dumping four digits in Target in one trip. And it's the spirit of kindness. It's the spirit of ridding the planet of evil for just one day. Just one day. And, you know, and that's the kind of stuff right there that you dig about Christmas, and you hope everybody has the ability just to kind of share that that spirit and experience, you know. So, yeah, outstanding. Great story. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Tim, I'm going to kick it your way, young man. Talk to me about that time you got a train set about 3 years ago.
I did get a train set. It was not 3 years ago. I did get one when I was a kid. So when it comes to Christmas past, I basically for the entire time I grew up, I was privileged enough to spend Christmas at one house, my parents' house, which after my parents split, it was my mom's house, but it was always there. And I was kind of just thinking this out the other day, just one of those times when you're sitting there around this time of year. You know, you could either be by yourself or a family full of people, and you just kind of want to escape the noise, so you just trap yourself in your own thoughts. Regardless, I was kind of staring at the tree, and I thought, you know, I had it pretty cool because I was the youngest of three. Grandma would come down. We called her Nan. So she would come down on Christmas Eve, and I was thinking to myself, that's what kicked it off, you know. It's like you had your milestones of December. It was pretty cool. So you started off, and maybe the outdoor lights were the first things to come on. And, of course, you know, like the post-Thanksgiving, when you're a kid, Black Friday is nothing. You know, it's still like Christmas is miles away. You know, it's not even, it's just like, oh my God, come on. So finally, you know, you get a week into December, the lights come up on the outside, people start putting their lights up, you're like, cool, we're getting closer, getting closer. Then finally, you know, your parents go out, buy a damn tree, they put it up a couple weeks, you know, at, you know, before Christmas. So you got that to stare at and everything, and that's kind of cool. You're starting to get a little bit more, you know, you're getting antsy, you're getting a little bit closer to it, and then finally presents start, you know, piling up under the tree. Then you're really getting excited. But, you know, what kicked it off for me, like I said, Christmas Eve, man would come down. And Christmas Eve was actually, to me, it was almost, no, I think it was better than Christmas Day. It was that anticipation, just the, everyone kind of, you know, there was a different feel in the house. It was that Christmas spirit, if you will. Everyone sat around, we played games and talked. Even if it was the same people that were there day in and day out each day, we just treated it different because it was what it was. It was Christmas and it was a time to just stop everything else and just, you know, have fun. And then there was Christmas Day. And of course, you know, like, again, going back to me being younger, of course it was about presents. A lot of it was. But what you don't realize when you're that age is there's so much more to that. Everything I had already discussed, the anticipation, the grandparents coming in, everybody having fun, that's still a major, even though you're not thinking about it, when you look back to your past Christmases, that's what made it Christmas, was all those extra things. It wasn't just presents. And so my transition went into, and, you know, it might sound like I'm trying to make a sad story, but I'm really not, because when my parents split, that was relatively the same time when my older brothers left. One went off to college. One went to go do his own thing. So we went from a family of five to a family of, like, two. It was me and my mom. So it was a little bit of an adjustment. But the holidays is when everyone came back, and my dad would even, because it was a, they were nice after they divorced, so it wasn't that messy. My dad would come over on Christmas. Nan still came down on Christmas Eve. My brothers were back in town. My oldest brother would be back from college, so it was all that feel again. And after, you know, after that whole childhood of waking up and having Santa Claus and all that, you know, you kind of transition from that over to, it's more about the family coming over. And that's what I started getting even more and more excited about. And then as adulthood, I even, you know, still we would always find a way to go back to mom's. We still do that. I've got a massive family here in Westfield, and I have stepchildren, so there's different things that come into play. So it's not the same, but, you know, we still are fortunate enough to have our parents. We still go over there for a bit on Christmas Day. And it's just, you know, the family's obviously expanded. So that's the present, though. So I'll just stop it right there. And that's the highlight of the Christmas past. So just that awesome transition and realizing that it goes more from realizing, you know, thinking it's about presents to just being about family and stopping your normal day-to-day life and just do those extra fun things and just spend quality time together. And that was what the Christmas past was for me.
Yeah, that's great, man, because a lot of times, you know, when you start having separations in the house and everything, the holidays become war. And it's unfortunate a lot of times, because normally the one that loses out are the kids. And I know one of my four grandkids is from my son-in-law from a previous relationship and everything, and it's probably up to the last 2 years that there's actually been some actual adult talk from his ex, and I think they're finally starting to realize now the effects of the emotional chess game that they were playing with that young man, what it was doing to him. So now Christmas is a little bit easier with us seeing him and, of course, him being with his mother's side. But, yeah, it was total weaponization where, okay, you have to have him dropped off at 4 o'clock. Well, 4 o'clock, he ain't there. 5 o'clock, he still ain't there. 6 o'clock, you're making phone calls. And it's good to hear that people were able to set any type of, and I'm under attack again, bear with me. Jesus Christ, just land in the backyard, will you? God, how am I supposed to get my Christmas woody when y'all keep doing this? Anyhow, But it's good to hear that people were able to cast that kind of stuff aside, come together, and keep the spirits high instead of turning into a feud. So, yeah, great, great story, man. Great addition. Appreciate that, Tim. Now, Dr. John, with the exception of the time that Bigfoot came over and played Uno with you on Christmas Eve, tell me some good Christmas past.
I thought it was backgammon.
No. It was when my dad got mad. When I grew up, everybody had an aluminum Christmas tree, you know, with that little turning light and everything. Y'all remember those?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And my dad, it was like 2 days before Christmas, because my mother was afraid I would be allergic to a tree. And so he said, son, I don't care who this makes mad, but I'm going to get me a real Christmas tree, and I'm going to put it up in this house. So he went out and brought a Christmas tree in, went out and bought one, put it up in the basement, put a skirt around it, put some balls on it, put some lights on it. And my mother was, of course, she was a nurse, and she was afraid I'd breathe anything wrong and die. So anyway, he said, son, come down and see your real Christmas tree. I said, okay. And I fell in love with it, and so I stayed down there with the TV at the real Christmas tree, and I never got sick, and I never sneezed. And my dad, I've never seen him so happy. Because he had, and
yeah,
I had, a real Christmas tree. This was, I mean, and you know what's funny? That plot is right out of Charlie Brown Christmas. There you go.
Yeah, Charlie Brown had to go find the twig, put that thing up.
And he made it beautiful. And he and Linus and Snoopy made it beautiful.
Yeah. Well, my mom actually ordered some replica of the Charlie Brown Christmas tree. And since none of us are at the house on Christmas and they don't really decorate like they used to, Mom just takes that Charlie Brown Christmas tree out, sets it on the dining room table, and that is her Christmas decorating now. No shit, every year. So
I think that's one.
Yeah, and that's great to hear your dad just went ahead and pulled her ankle on that one. And, you know, every now and then you got to do that. And there's something different about having a real tree. You know, we do a fake tree now because of the way things are going in our Christmas tradition. But I remember when Dale bought that tree, I lit her up. I says, you know, why are you doing this? It's $150 for this tree. It's a pain in the ass to put up. It's a pain in the ass to take down. I says, and moreover, not a real tree. I says, you don't sweep up pine needles, and you don't get that smell, and you don't get the sap all over your hands when you're trying to cut the trunk even. I says, it just totally kills Christmas off. So I totally get the real Christmas tree thing, man. There's just something about that tree that that means the world, you know.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, well done, Dr. John. Appreciate that.
Sure.
Now, mine, real quick, like, was actually kind of bleeds into my present one, which we'll cover here in a little bit. You know, my family, you know, my parents and everything, the tradition was get up at the crack of dawn, because you couldn't keep the two Atwell boys in the bed, and because we'd be out there with our flashlights and everything looking under the tree. And Mom and Dad, when they put a Dunkin' Donuts up here in town, which was, God, I want to say like 83, 84 or something like that, the tradition turned into everybody gets up, sits around in their skivvies unwrapping Christmas presents. But Dad would run out and get 2 dozen donuts, bring them back. And we'd all sit around in our boxers and whatever, in our robes, and unwrap all the Christmas stuff. We used to have time because my folks would pull out the damn stops on Christmas every year. I mean, and they wouldn't wrap anything because Mom was sold on that Santa thing. Even though me and my brother both knew that Santa didn't exist, spoiler alert. Mom still insisted on wrapping everything on Christmas Eve, you know.
Uh-huh.
So Christmas Day was pretty much a lock-in. You know, you just, you know, ain't nobody put on jeans until like 2 in the afternoon type thing. So when me and Dale got together, her family has a more religious kind of view on the celebration of Christmas. So they get up, they put on their slacks and their dress shirts, and you know, sometimes they run to the church depending on what day it is. My dad-in-law has a habit of doing the Linus thing where he reads the nativity every year. And so when me and Dale got together, it was kind of a culture shock for me. I was like, Jesus, man, we going to eat? We going to wrap this stuff? Are we going to sit around and read scripture all day? I mean, hell, I could do that on Sunday, you know? And so it was a little bit of a culture shock for me. So nevertheless, I played the game and pretty much told my folks, I said, hey, just for the sake of keeping things peaceful, you know, you have a problem with us not coming over on Christmas? My folks were like, no, that's not a problem at all. No sweat. I said, all right, cool. Because my brother lived out of town, too. And a lot of times they drove to my brother's and did Christmas with him, so it all kind of worked out. So anyhow, fast forward a tape, when Rob comes along. And Rob was, I want to say he was 2. It was like the first Christmas when he can actually grasp kind of sort of what was going on. And he unwrapped all this stuff, right? I mean, and I was in my renaissance when I found out Rob was coming along because Lisa, of course, you know, I'm not into Barbies. You know, I'm not into fixing hair and all that kind of stuff.
You're not, Dave? Oh, come on.
Maybe on my back, but definitely not on my head these days. So when Rob come along, it was my renaissance, man. I was getting back into the Ninja Turtles, Star Wars, Transformers, you know, all G.I. Joe and everything. So Rob got all this loot. And right about the time, it's time to start putting the batteries in and everything, and yak, yak, Dale starts laying into him. Come on, we got to get dressed. We got to get dressed. Quit horsing around. And I says, whoa, wait a minute. It's 1,000 hours. What are you doing? You ain't got to get dressed yet. She says, we got to get over there to my mom and dad's. And I says, not until 1,400. She said, well, I told Mom I'd help her get everything together. I looked at her and I said, so you mean to tell me this young man just unwrapped all this loot, and now he's got to leave it here to go over there and sit and stare at the walls over there at your parents' house for the next 10, 12 hours. I said, that is absolute. What the hell's wrong with you people? You know, so it already kind of set our Christmas off on a tilt. And so we drive over there to my in-law's house, and I walked in, and I was already steaming, but I put it on the back burner, and I approached my dad-in-law and my mom-in-law, and I said, guys, here's the situation. And I explained to them what happened at the house. I says, and I told them about my Christmas tradition with my folks when I was a kid. And I says, now that I have 2 children, I says, this monkey business is going to stop. So here's why I'm offering you. First choice, you got the first round draft pick. You could pick any day of the year to celebrate Christmas. And until my death or otherwise, we will celebrate Christmas with you all on said day. You have my word. I said, you have 364 days to choose from. The one that's blacked out is December 25th because there will be no more leaving the Atwell residence on the 25th of December because we are going to start our own tradition. And by Christ, I am not going to be bouncing off the walls, peaceful day of the year. So, I mean, the whole damn place just went silent when I said this because everybody's like, uh-oh, Dave's in, you know, warhead mode. So my dad-in-law looked at me and, to his credit, said, well, how about Christmas Eve? I looked over at my mom-in-law and says, Mom, you good with that? She goes, yeah, yeah, that's good. I said, all right, fair enough. Henceforth, December 24th, we will be over here celebrating Christmas with you all in your way. And I turned around my dad-in-law and said, so you could read the nativity to everybody with a closed, you know, crowd, you know, captured crowd, so to speak. And that'll be that. And up until 2 years ago, we did that. So that was like a 20-year tradition. And I'll be damned if it didn't work out for everybody, because my son-in-law or my brother-in-law, you know, had two children. And he had his in-laws that were wanting to see the children. And he was doing the same thing that I was doing, bouncing off the walls, trying to be in 14 places on Christmas Day. So, to his credit, he said, well, if we're going to do that, then I'm going to my in-laws and telling them they can have any other day but 24th and 25th. And bigger than anything, he started his own tradition, and it worked out just right. So, yeah, and what it did is that it gave everybody that chance to have Christmas their way, because I would have Christmas at my folks' house. You know, it might be the 22nd, it might be the 19th, it might be the 28th. But Mom would cook the ham, and we'd have the deviled eggs, and we'd, you know, horse around all day and, you know, cut up, have a couple whiskeys and everything. And then, you know, my in-laws were able to have their full day where everybody was dressed to the nines and reading scripture and all that kind of good stuff. And then I had my day. You know, we were able to start our tradition as a family, me, Dale, Lisa, and Rob. And to this day, or up until 2 years ago, which we'll cover in the present part, everything works out fine. So, again, everybody gets what they want. And what's really cool about it is that you get, like, four or five Christmases out of it. So it's kind of like being Jewish with Hanukkah, but not being Jewish with Hanukkah, where you can, like, go around and get all these, you know, celebrate 5-7 days of Christmas. And works out good. We've been enjoying it. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to kick it counterclockwise this time for the present, kind of like when you're doing draft picks in your fantasy football. And Dr. John, I'm going to swat it back in your direction. Hit me up with a present, not a present like gift, but a present like time, Christmas.
Well, it really started about 3 years ago. I have some wonderful friends, and it seemed like they all found out within 2 days of each other that I don't see my family for whatever reason, don't get invited. So I have always had places to go for the holidays ever since they all found that out. And now this year I'm actually going to go visit those families next week. As I said, you know, I got to work up till Friday, and I don't want to have to run and figure everything out. So I said, I'm just going to come by and see y'all next week. And they were fine with that. But I thought that was kind of the nicest thing that ever happened to me, is that all of a sudden everybody found out, my really good friends found out I didn't have any family to go celebrate Christmas with. So what more can I say other than
that's cool.
Have a happy, 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 happy Hanukkah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's good.
And a lot of times you get to experience different ways of celebrating and everything, like I was just speaking on, and not to mention the fact of food, man. Could you imagine getting to eat deviled eggs for a whole week? Ain't nothing wrong with that, dude. I mean,
no, there's not.
Following week might be a little sketchy, but, I mean, damn deviled eggs, I could eat those things every day, son. That's right on up there with lasagna. Deviled eggs. You are not lying. Outstanding.
Dave, let me ask you this. Real quickly, do you ever get deviled eggs with your lasagna?
Haven't tried that. Not that I wouldn't be willing. That'd be the best of both worlds.
Tell Dale that I suggested that she make deviled eggs next time she makes lasagna, and Dave will be a happy boy.
Of course, I'll strike out on both of them. No, I will tell you, though, she'll make some nasty deviled eggs. When I say nasty, nasty in a good way. Her deviled eggs are pretty damned awesome. I will give her that. The lasagna scene doesn't happen as often as I'd like to over here, but nevertheless, yeah, them deviled eggs, man. God, Jesus, just talking about it. You know, they need to come out with, like, a potato chip that's flavored like deviled eggs so you can just enjoy the damn things year-round. Just eat potato chips. I mean, hell, they got different flavors of everything else. Why can't you have a deviled egg flavor?
They have lots of different flavors of potato chips now. But then you got a problem. What happens if you're like me and you like hell of a good dip, French onion dip, and all you got's deviled egg flavored potato chips? Oh man, sounds pretty good actually. I'll try it.
Means you got to run to the Scotchman and get you some Tic Tacs afterwards. Some damn certs. That breath is going to be kicking after all that, right? French onion dip and boiled eggs. Yeah. That's a fine. Don't get locked in a room with me afterwards. That's for damn certain, right?
I've got it. So here's what you do. You make egg salad, which is deviled eggs chopped up. So you make egg salad, and then you got a hell of a good dip. And then you get two knives, and then you put a little bit of deviled egg and a little bit of a hell of a good dip, and you just have a gourmet feast on your potato chip. That's what you do.
Yeah. And wash it down with some cheap beer? Yes. Chernobyl will have nothing on you. That is awesome. Damn right.
Got it.
Nothing like some good old egg passages afterwards, you know. But good call, Dr. John. Well done. Well done. Now, Tim, present young man.
Well, I think to cover the presents, it overall is summed up by basically saying that what we do is get up and, you know, I can't let go. We still, Santa Claus still visits. My daughter is 13. My son is 10. He still, I think, is probably maybe the last year or two for it, who knows. But I got to speak soft because guys in there playing video games. But anyway, so we get up, we do that type of thing. And then what we'll do is go over to my mom's house, like I had said. And anymore, my brother comes in from Virginia he doesn't come in the day of Christmas, but he's here for Christmas Day, as opposed to having an alternate weekend where the Armstrongs get together, because we did do that too. So there's a few years where we did other stuff when I'm leaving out, but this is the present after all, so that's what I'm jumping to. So we'll go over there, spend a few hours, then come back. But yeah, I guess in the middle there, so we'll wake up. They see what, Santa might have bought them. And then their older siblings, who are my stepkids, they come over. We all exchange gifts. It's usually a pretty quick thing, but we'll eat breakfast here. So kind of take our time, mosey on over to my mom's house in the afternoon. I know she always wishes we'd be there earlier, but it is what it is. She has to deal with it. So we're there in the afternoon, get to visit with her for a while, come back. And that's kind of actually why I start to calm down a bit. That's the part where it's like it's over, I can kind of breathe, it might be some football on, something to that effect. But what I wanted to do is point out a story that has kind of changed how things go, and that story goes back to a couple years ago, which was, I'm going to say it was started maybe the day after Christmas. But I started off, and you guys all know the story, but nonetheless, it happened around Christmas time, and it's close enough to the present, and it leads up to the present. So it's a good story. But yeah, I had the weird abdominal pain and thought to myself, man, I'm not going to be able to get to sleep very well. I might have a couple of drinks just to knock me out so that I can through this abdominal pain I'm having. So I proceeded, and you know, Christmas is one of those days where I'm not getting, like, completely trashed, but I drink alcohol pretty much the whole day. You know, it's just a constant. I mean, it is what it is. You know, but no one's getting wasted. It's not like you're belligerent and stumbling around. It's just, you know, you've casually got a cocktail in your hand all day long.
Right.
So as that goes, you know, basically fast forward to where I had the abdominal pain, had a couple of drinks to get myself through. And then the next day, it was pretty much the same thing. I came back, and it was, you know, the same process. It was more abdominal pain, and then I had to basically talk to myself, well, I'll have a couple, two or three drinks, and then I'll get myself in bed. Maybe that'll help me fall asleep. Well, it kept getting worse and worse. And I think I got to the Wednesday or so, and I woke up, and there was not a damn thing I could do to get rid of that pain. And I thought, man, this is actually kind of starting to get me a little nervous. So I finally, and I thought, well, maybe I just need to take a shower. You know, I'll stretch out my muscles. Maybe it's something to do. I don't know. I was making up all kinds of things in my head of what it could possibly be. And I took a shower, thought I was feeling a little bit better, got out and got dressed, and then I started to come downstairs, and you know, I sat on the couch and I thought to myself, there it is again, and it's hurting even worse. I can't get comfortable, and it's kind of starting to freak me out. And probably for the first time in my life, I looked over at my wife and I said, I think I need to go to the hospital. And because I worked in a hospital, I've seen how busy they are, I've seen how miserable people are sitting there. I don't want to be in the hospital. It's not my place of having fun, but I knew I had to be there, so I gave in. I'm like, I tapping out. So she took me there. Of course, it was funny because right away they started asking me, like, okay, how much you drink? What do you mean, how much do I drink? I don't know. I have a couple tonight. So, you know, they treated me like an alkie, which was fine, whatever. They kept wanting to see, and then they were giving me these various drugs. But the bottom line was they determined I had pancreatitis. And, well, one thing that brings it on is alcohol. And, heck, yeah, I was a moderate drinker. I never considered myself as real heavy. You know, I'm not going to sit there and get completely crap-faced and stare at nothing or do whatever the whole day. But I had my fair share, especially at night when everybody else was going to bed. That was just kind of my habit. It was the thing, you know. I'd have my alcohol, watch some football, whatever other sports is on, or pop a movie on, and that was that. But after that, the doc came in and said, you know, it'd really do you a lot of good if you didn't drink. And I thought, well, crap. So I thought it was going to be kind of rough. I quit drinking. It wasn't that big of a deal. It wasn't as big of a problem as I thought it'd be. My primary care said, well, it is kind of a habitual thing. You know, if you're not addicted, truly addicted, it's just more of a habitual thing. And I was like, well, crap, I guess he's right, because I just found more habits, and I started making those dumb little mocktails. I'd grab me some cranberry juice and Sprite, curl up on the couch, and I was like, I'm going to make this. You know, anytime when I think I'd come down here and have alcohol, I'll make it just a movie night, and I'll stay up a little bit longer and stay with it and just, you know, watch a movie. So I got to doing that, changed things around, bettered my lifestyle, lost a bunch of weight. So from here on out at Christmas, it's a little dull for me because I'm the one at the Armstrong household when I visit. I'm not drinking any alcohol, but it's all good because the good side to it is, you know, I'm sharp. I remember everything. Not that I ever got, like, completely blackout wasted, but, you know, when you're drinking alcohol all day and having fun at a gathering like that, you're going to not remember a lot of stuff. You know, it's like, hey, did you see Tanner open up, you know, his fire truck? Oh, crap. No, I don't want to remember that. Oh, what is that thing? Oh, okay. You know, but this way, it's like I'm sharp. I'm coherent. Don't have to worry about who's going to drive home, any of that stuff. So it really isn't that bad, but that's kind of what it leads up to now. So nonetheless, a little bit of a scare. I spent even New Year's Eve in the hospital. I think I came back either New Year's Day or the day after. I can't remember. It seemed to me like I was still in there watching all the bowl games on New Year's Day. So I must have come home the day after. But that was back in, 2020. So that was the tail end of 2020, basically giving me a middle finger before it parted out of here. And so ever since then, I actually haven't even attempted it, because everyone kept saying, well, you know, surely you can have a couple of drinks and it won't spark any of the pancreatitis stuff back. And I'm like, you know what? That's not a pain I want to have again. So I'm just not going to chance it. And I haven't had any alcohol for I guess I'm coming up on the 2-year anniversary here. So a bit of a health change, habit change, and it's all for the better. So that's the way it looks now. Yay for Christmas present.
Yeah, you know, everybody, I was just speaking on it the other day that I've got quite a few friends. As a matter of fact, I just found out during the week I had another friend pass that I have known since like grade school days. And he actually lives next to his dad, and they live right around on the adjacent street to my folks' house. And, you know, found out that he had passed a couple months back. And my folks had walked past the house and noticed it was empty. And they said, oh, I wonder if Junior moved out, blah, blah, blah. So when I found out, I called my folks up, and they said, well, that's why the house is empty. And I said, yeah, well, that probably stands to reason. But guy was a year older than me. And you start looking at that kind of stuff. And, you know, I say it often that I don't have the kind of luck to win the Powerball. But I am 52 years old and on no pharmaceuticals, you know, haven't had any hospital stays. Now, I've injured myself a million times, you know, but I haven't, when it comes down to any type of, you know, illnesses or anything like that, it just hasn't hit me. But I always cautiously think, it's like, man, I'm just waiting for that other shoe to drop. So I don't know sometimes if you're better off just having it happen and then you adjust like you were talking about, Tim, or if you walk around in fine shape and you think you're in fine shape until the other shoe drops, and then you find out you've got 55 things wrong that they could have solved 30 years ago had you said something. So it's, you know, you take the bad and you weave it into a good, and it only stays a bad when you allow it to stay a bad. You got to find a way to turn that thing inside out and make a positive out of it, build off it. So, yeah, I recall because I remember when it all hit here on the show, and because it was always your cranberry juice and vodka, if I recall, out there on the porch.
Yeah, that changed the good old days, cranberry and Seven Up. Yeah.
Yeah, cranberry juice and Sprite, or cranberry juice and lies, one of the two. Kind of like that Beavis the Butthead episode when they drank the non-alcoholic beer and they were walking around going, we're wasted. Just because it tasted like beer, you know. Outstanding. Well, man, we're glad you survived. We're glad you're here with us. And, yeah, I mean, like I said, you took a negative and turned it into a big positive, man. So kick ass. You know, that's – they say you can't keep a good man down, right? But, yeah, definitely there appreciate you. That. So, Granny Hulkster.
Yes. Yeah.
Talk to me about a Christmas present.
Well, you know, being that it's just me and David and Anthony here in good old Springdale, Arkansas, you know, we don't have no family down here. And so we get together, you know, with friends and our really good friends, Mike and Lynn, and, you know, Lynn, God rest her soul, we lost Lynn in July 4th of this year. So this is going to be the first time, and I'm not sure, I've got to contact Mike to see if he wants to do this or not, but there's a little restaurant, little mom and pop restaurant in good old little old Gravette, Arkansas called the Hard Luck Diner or Hard Luck Cafe. And what they do every year on Christmas Day from 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock, they do a free Christmas dinner. They've been doing it for this is the 10th year that this little restaurant has done this. And they'll deliver meals to people that, you know, can't get out. But you can go up there to their little cafe, their little restaurant, and they've got presents for adults and kids, and the community and businesses and stuff have donated, you know. And they put on a free Christmas meal, like ham, turkey, mashed potatoes and gravy, green beans, you know, you name it, the works. I mean, you know. And so we've done that with Mike and Lynn for the past probably the last 4 or 5 years that, you know, we've done this. And we're probably going to do it again this year, too, you know. So it's just, it's really nice how a business like that, and it's a family-owned business, that they do this for the community, you know, for whoever wants to come. And it just, it's a nice little, they have one of the local TV stations up there that always, you know, does their little report, you know, from the restaurant, and they talk to people, you know, they interview people, and it's just a really nice time. I mean, you know, it's just, it's family, you know, and it just, it really touches your heart when you see people do something like this. So
yeah,
that's,
and, you know,
kind of our, that's our Christmas present, you know, so.
And that's awesome. And, you know, the thing you've got, and I'm going to throw myself under the bus with this. Those folks who go out there and volunteer on Christmas Day, as a matter of fact, myself right now, I'm taking the holiday off. This is the first holiday that I have taken off. In 2014, I took it off because I was working through a layoff agreement with my former employer. And but this will be the first holiday that I have taken off since I was a teenager. Because, you know, when you're 16, 17 years old back in the 80s, you were working all the way up to and sometimes on Christmas Day. And, you know, working for the robust $3.35 an hour. So, you know, this year I kind of played a little selfish game, and I says, you know, I'm not going to go back to doing any part-time work, you know, now that the season for pressure washing is off until January. I'm going to enjoy the damn holiday. I'm not going to do it. So this next week is like vaulted for me. You know, people are like, well, hey, are you going to? Nope. As a matter of fact, Dr. John, me and you was just talking earlier, and you're coming up this way towards Jacksonville, and I told you it depends on what we're doing, because I've got the next week to do everything I want to with my family together. That's just it. But going on that tip, these folks who get up on Christmas morning and roll their sleeves up and go to these places and cook the meals and serve the meals and clean up the meals and all that kind of good stuff, that is a whole different brand and level of kindness that, unfortunately, I don't possess. Perhaps it's in my programming. It's not that I don't want to be kind, but I just, the amount of selflessness and giving spirit that folks do when they get up at 30 in the morning and go and cook these millions of meals for these folks to come by and chow down on. And I mean, and Lord knows, don't ever put me in a situation where I'm serving food and not eating it, because I'll get grumpy quick. But man, you want to talk about some excellent Christmas spirit that is just on a different level when people have that ability to jump up out of bed and go provide, and as Granny was alluding to, a new tradition for her and David and Anthony where they can go and they can chow down, and that becomes their Christmas tradition. You know what I mean? And so kudos to those folks. That's some amazing stuff. Totally amazing. I appreciate you adding that, Granny. That was very good.
You're
and
welcome.
A true definition of Christmas, you know. So, leading off of my past story, a couple years ago, unfortunately, things with my dad-in-law, you know, of course, I've spoken on it here several times when we lost my mom-in-law, how much it messed me up when I lost my mom-in-law and everything, and a lot of stuff changed when she passed. with my in-law side of the family. So as time wore on, and, you know, Lisa's got four kids now, having Christmas over there at his house became work. And it's nothing disparaging against my dad-in-law and his new wife. But nevertheless, you found yourself spending more time stressing about him stressing than what you did enjoying the holiday. And I would tell Lisa, you know, we've got to let this go. And to her credit, she was trying to keep my mom-in-law's spirit alive. And I get that. And I totally go behind that. She says, oh, we used to do, you know, Nana used to be over there cooking this, that, and the other. And you remember she used to cook, you know, the 14 buckets of fried rice on Christmas Day. And I says, yeah, but, you know, Mom ain't here no more. I said, and there's a different feel about this house, and there's a different expectation. And it's time for us to find another way of, you know, handling Christmas. So it was three Christmases ago where it just reached a boiling point. And I says, you know, I told my wife, as a matter of fact, I pulled my son-in-law, pulled Lisa, pulled Rob, pulled Dale together, because my son-in-law, I think enough of him to consider him my own son. So by God, I pulled him into the huddle and I says, guys, I'm going to tell you right here and now, this is my last time of doing this. I don't harbor any ill will. I says, but this is destroying my holidays every year. And perhaps my dad-in-law was just reaching a point in his life where he just couldn't do it anymore. And some people have the ability, thank Christ I do, I have the ability just to walk, even if it's bad news, I have the ability to walk up to somebody and say something. And, you know, if I'm coming over to your house, Granny, for dinner, and you say, hey, I'm going to cook my meatloaf, I have the ability to walk up to you and go, hey, Granny, not for nothing, I'm sure your meatloaf is fabulous. Can't stand meatloaf. Can we have some fish sticks instead? You know what I mean? I'm that kind of guy that has the ability to do that. Right? Not everybody has that. A lot of people will not say anything and then, you know, create some misery, you know, when everything's going on. So I said, perhaps, you know, my dad-in-law is just reaching a point where he just doesn't want the mayhem in his house. And I get that. I don't have a problem with it. I said, the problem I have is I don't think anybody else gets that. So what we need to do is put our heads together and somehow or another formulate a plan where we can have Christmas. Unfortunately, my house, we've got three bedrooms, and actually we only have two bedrooms because the third bedroom is now like my wife's dressing room, and ain't nobody getting in that damn thing. I mean, you want to talk about damn Surf Pro? So, you know, we got four grandkids, four dogs. My daughter and my son-in-law. My son-in-law's a big guy, man. He's every bit of, you know, 350, and not a fat 350. He's a solid young man 350. So the thought of them trying to blow up air mattresses and all that kind of, it would look like a hurricane shelter in the house, and nobody would be comfortable. So, you know, I had the idea. I said, look, why don't you guys come down? We'll throw Christmas here at our house, my house. I says, and I'll pay for your hotel stay. I'll pay for two rooms. You can divvy it out however you want to do it. And we'll go with that. So we gnawed on that bone for a little bit. And to my daughter's credit, she called and she said, hey, I'm not trying to piss on your leg or your kindness. But I got an idea. We're renting out a beach house. And I says, okay, well, how much do you need? Because that was the immediate concern, is like, okay, how much is this going to set me back? She says, no. She says, me and my husband are both, you know, me and Dante, we're both making six figures because they live up there in D.C. and Lisa works for a lawyer now as an accountant, and my son-in-law, he works at the Pentagon. She says, we both make six figures. We'll pay for the Airbnb thing, and we'll just stay at the beach. We'll get a beach house. So the first year she said that, I remember driving Dale to the beach, and my exact words. As a matter of fact, I always have, and Dr. John, I know you've heard me say in the past where I say I never have to prove myself wrong because there's always an asshole out there that's going to do it for me. Or I never have to prove myself right because there's always an asshole that's going to do it for me. So we're driving to the beach house that first Christmas. And I remember looking at Dale and I says, you know this is going to be a shit show, right? And she just sat there real quiet. And I said, so I need you to keep an open mind. I don't need you turning into the Grinch. I just need a peaceful effing holiday if you could possibly do it for me. I said, let's just enjoy this, okay? Let's just enjoy it. So we get to the beach house, get in there. And I'm here to tell you, it was one of the best Christmases I ever had in my freaking adult life. We got in there. There was no schedule. The only schedule we had, there was two things. One, when everybody, when they wanted to get all the, you know, the kids together and unwrap their presents. And two, we FaceTimed my dad-in-law. And from the comfort of his home, he was able to FaceTime and read the whole nativity thing, just read his scripture like he likes to do the Linus thing every year. And so everybody got what they wanted. So I was able to have a beer whenever I wanted one. We were playing cards. We were drinking beer. We were eating. The kids were playing. My two oldest granddaughters, they're twins. They're 17 now, 16, 17, somewhere in that ballpark. You know, they went off and did their teenage things, blah, blah, blah. They're too cool for the room. You know how it is. And we had the best freaking time because there was no scheduling. There was no no pomp and circumstance. It was just everybody coming out there and just chilling, for lack of a better term. So when Christmas was over with, I remember I walked up to my daughter as they were getting ready to leave to head back to D.C. And I says, come here for a minute. And I pulled her off away from the group. I put my arm around her shoulder. And I says, I'm going to tell you something. When I'm wrong, I'm going to own it. And she said, yeah. I said, though it rarely happens, I'm going to own it. And I says, you know, on the way out there, I told your mother that this was going to be a shit show. And she looked at me and I says, but I was wrong. You have done very well. And thank you. You know what you've just done? I says, you've just established a new tradition for our family. Right on. And now it's blossomed into this thing now, where we just have so much damn fun. And to be honest with you, when they came into town this afternoon, they came by here, got the fake tree that I was talking about earlier, and they drive it over here to the beach house, and they set it up. And the kids are able to go in there, and, of course, they're not really kids anymore. You know, I think the youngest one is 10, 11. They're able to go in there and leave empty cans on the counter without anybody stressing about it, you know, and they're able to shoot each other with Nerf darts and you don't have to, you're going to knock over that vase. Everything just kind of falls into place. And as a matter of fact, last Christmas, if you guys remember here in Eastern North Carolina, especially you, Dr. John, it was warmer than hell. It was like in the 80s on Christmas Day last year.
Oh, my, you're right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So they wanted to go to the water. So Dale, my son-in-law, my daughter, all of them got up in the Suburban. They drove down to the Shark Attack place there in Sneed's Ferry, bought shorts and everything because they didn't pack for summer weather. And they all went and crowded on the beach and was having a blast. Me, I'm sitting three stories up watching a football game on my tablet, sipping a whiskey, eating leftover yakisoba, and smoking a cigar with a three-story beach house all to myself. And I says,
What's yakisoba?
That's like a Japanese spaghetti.
Oh, okay, cool.
So I sat there and I was like, hot damn, for all these years, I always say, I only want two things for Christmas, and I'll never get them. And what's that, Dave? It's peace and quiet. And I'll be damned if I didn't have it. And I had my little 2 hours worth of just sitting there with the ocean breeze and my football and my cigar and my drink and my chow. And I remember sitting there and I said, all right, well, if it's time for me to go, now's this time because I'm going to die a happy man. So, like I said, they came by this afternoon. They got the tree. They're over there at the beach house right now. And looking forward to it, man. Looking forward just to hanging out and having our own schedule and having no rules and just everybody enjoying their damn holiday. You know what I mean? So that is my Christmas present. Now, what we're going to do, we're getting a little choked on time, but we're going to kick it around real quick and do a quick round of future because we don't know what the future holds. So this is more of a wish portion, if you will. So we'll do a quick Christmas future, and then we'll kick it around the room for our parting remarks and our New Year bits because we will not be doing a show next week because next week will be the last day I will have my grandkids and my family with me. And I figure everybody could take a Yuletide recovery week. And so in the event you're in the bathroom pooping off mama's turkey dressing, or if perhaps you're recovering from the copious amount of alcohol you might be taking in, we can take next Wednesday off and then come back strong the following Wednesday, first week of January, which would be like the 3rd or 4th, nevertheless. So Granny Hulkster. This future for me.
Well, I just hope that, you know, what family I have left, you know, like I said, you know, that Anthony and David and I can celebrate Christmas every year, whether we do it with friends or family, what family we have left, you know, that's just what I'm hoping for, you know, just fun times, you know, and peaceful times and, you know, not so much stress and with everything that I've been dealing with, you know, with my son's situation and everything. So, and I also forgot to mention, too, you know, when I was talking about my good friend Mike and Lynn, you know, I have some other good friends, Lisa and Kevin Upshaw, and he's one of our musician friends, and the last couple of Christmases, like Christmas Eve Day, you know, we actually go up to their house and have lunch with them and their family, you know, and a few friends. So, you know, it's just nice to get together with friends, you know, and especially if you don't have a lot of family left. And these people, you know, I'm proud to call them my friends, but they're also family, you know. We're not related by any means. We're not blood related. But you know what? You don't have to be blood related to be family.
Correct. And, absolutely not.
And I would love, you know, and I love these people dearly. I mean, you know, they're amazing people. And that's just what I hope for, you know. I just hope that, you know, because like I said, David, Monday, they let three people go at his job, and one of them just happened to be his boss. And David's been with the same place, you know, he's worked for the road department since 1972. And he didn't sleep really good Monday night. He was awake at 3 o'clock Tuesday morning. They were supposed to be off tomorrow, but because of the weather coming in, they made it mandatory that they all have to work. So they're going to give him next Thursday off. because Friday is their normal day off, and then they're going to have Monday off, you know, the day after Christmas. But, you know, I don't know how much longer David's going to be able to work. So, you know, once he fully retires, we're really going to have to tighten that belt a little bit more and do what we have to do to.
Yeah, with the current situation, that's not going to be easy either. But hopefully that'll come around, because I know those layoffs are super scary, especially when you have any time. I know folks our age were always taught coming to work on time, leave late, leave work late, you know, work through your breaks, go, 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 put your best foot forward. And if you stay faithful to the job will stay faithful to you. Well, it ain't like that no more.
Not the case anymore.
No.
I mean, one of the bosses. Yeah, one of the bosses said, you know, because he said, well, he said, is my job safe? And he says, for right now, yes. You know, it's the for right now that we have to be concerned about. You know?
Yeah. And when they're cutting back health, don't think they're cutting back a certain branch or a certain rank or a certain expertise. What they're cutting back is they look and see what job title holds the longest employee rate. So, in other words, if the title B has an average person of 25 years in, that's when they start saying, well, how can we do this job without title B? And those are the guys they cut. And, you know, I've often said you got to quit every 5 years. You know, when I say you got to quit, you got to, you know, because they'll hire you back. And, of course, you lose your time off and all that jazz, but damn if it don't take crosshairs off your chest. Because nowadays, if you have any longevity, they don't want you around. So, yeah, hopefully that'll pan out, because I know David's a hard-working gentleman, and he's definitely earned his place until he decides he's ready to go. So, yeah, wishing you the best on that, Granny Hulkster, very much. So, Tim, hit me up with some future there, Daddy.
Well, as I think about the future, it's like, man, the mind could go a dark path. The mind could go a positive path. I think what I've decided to do is just leave it at, and kind of tying it into how the present will lead to the future, and it goes to a conversation I remember having with my oldest brother just a couple of years ago. We had talked about, and it wasn't a sad chat or anything, but, you know, it's like at times change. And so we were sitting on the couch, and I believe it was Christmas Day, might have been Christmas Eve. And I was telling him about just kind of how different my family now treats it to where we were growing up. And as I was talking about, Christmas was very drawn out. The day, I don't know how everyone here does their present exchange and opening and stuff like that. I don't know if you guys just have a free-for-all or what, but we always just rotated. I mean, we could draw out Christmas till like 12:30, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and then, you know, we kind of mess with our stuff and just kind of socialize a bit, and then all of a sudden it's time to eat, and then we're back to playing games, back to doing whatever. Christmas music is playing the whole day. No one's off in their bedrooms. It was what it was like growing up. That was what I thought that everybody did. And then with my current family, how I brought on, you know, the stepkids, and it was kind of like what I was realizing is this is one of those families where it's kind of like you get up, you're all excited, everybody rips in the presents. We might kind of start off taking turns, but then everyone just finishes off just doing whatever. And then the older kids would just kind of disperse and go about their day. And I would just kind of be left kind of going, well, this isn't right. Like, this, what is this? And, you know, it's just been a little different. And I've kind of tried to add my own mix to it to liven it up. And not to say that it's completely like that now. I think the younger kids, it is still, you know, I try to get it to where it's like, okay, let's bring the game system in the front room. Let's, you know, let's do this. Let's do this. And so does Kim. You know, she's gone out and gotten gingerbread kits, but all in all, what I was getting at is the conversation with my brother. It was like, man, it's a lot different these days. And he said something that really stuck to me. And he said, yeah, but, you know, the kids are your kids excited about Christmas? I said, well, of course they are. And he said, well, that's it. They're creating memories like we did. That's what we do is we come back and we talk about the memories we had growing up and what we remember.
And he's like, the kids are doing that now. All of our kids, they're all creating these memories that they're going to come back and they're going to talk about. And I was like, damn, he's right. You know, it doesn't have to be about what it was like for me. It doesn't have to be like that for these kids. And that's what I'm in it for right now. I'm all in for the kids. I like to see their faces on Christmas. And, of course, you know, I like to get with my mom and family, too. That's the other swing of it. Morning, it's all about my kids. And so that's what I want the future to be. I want the future to be wherever we go and spend Christmas with, great. But I want my kids to be able to enjoy their times and when they're raising their kids, reflect back to the times they had. And hopefully I was able to do a decent enough job as a dad to give them that kick-ass Christmas that they can talk about, you know, in the years to come. So that's what I look forward to with Christmas future.
No, I totally agree with you with that. And that was, you know, going back to my Christmas past story, that was pretty much my thought when I put my foot down. I was like, hey, you know, you don't let a two-year-old unwrap all this loot and then tell him he can't play with it because he's got to go somewhere else. It's the older I get, the more I enjoy the fact that if I can get a damn bottle of whiskey, a couple of cigars, and a new pair of house shoes to walk around, you know, the old corduroy dad slippers. I'm good. I don't need anything else. You want to know why? Because if I need something, I just go buy it.
Right.
right. It's the fact that I get to sit back and watch the grandkids. I get to watch the grandkids fry one another in the neck at point-blank range with Nerf guns. I get to have a couple of drinks with my son-in-law and my son. You know, my two boys, you know what I mean?
Yep.
You know, I get to see my wife and my daughter connect again and everything, you know, since, you know, Lisa lives in D.C. and everything. It's just the ability to stop and look around and what's going on around you means so much more than unwrapping stuff. And, you know, eventually everybody will, and the older you get, the more that kind of feel is where you just want to see everybody enjoying it. And if you have any input or if you have any type of contribution to their happiness, then God knows that's Christmas. You know what I mean? That's where it's at.
Yep.
So yeah, good call, Tim. Well said. And I hope you guys have a great Christmas, man. Hopefully everything will go your way on Christmas Day. Won't have
right
the dogs charging through the house and getting the turkey off the thing, and you guys have to go to a Chinese restaurant and eat dinner. Deck the hearts with boughs of holly. Ra 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 ra.
Hey,
we all know who that is, right?
I'm actually just happy to have one of our dogs with us, because I will tell you just super quick, and then I'll let us get back on track here. But we did have a scare. I didn't post anything on the chat or anything like that, but while I was at work, believe it was Monday, I get a text from my youngest son, who's 10, and I'm about out the door anyway. I got about 15 minutes left to work, and I look down at my phone. I've had a busy day. I look down, and it says, Marley had a seizure. Mom's taking him to the vet. And I'm like, what? And I'm thinking to myself, damn it, Tanner, he's freaking joking around, and I'm going to get home, and I'm going to beat his ass for making stuff up. Well, he wasn't making it up. Sure enough, this dog had a grand mal seizure. I did not witness it as I was at work. Apparently, it lasted for quite a while. They took him to the vet, and by the time I get there, they're talking about, you know, well, we did load him up with a lot of medicine. It's just tough to tell what's going on with him right now. It could be a number of things. He could just be having a tough time coming down from the medicine we gave him. He could be still seizing, getting ready to seize even stronger. So we left, decided to go back, and we're going to give it an hour and a half to see how he was doing. And in the meantime, we're thinking of ourselves that we're going to have to go back there as a family to say goodbye to this dog. And
yeah.
I know it sounds awful of me, but the whole time I'm thinking to myself, and I wasn't the only one, other people admitted too, but I was thinking, why couldn't it have been the damn Cocker Spaniel? But nonetheless, it was Marlin, it was my golden retriever. And so, you know, the only reason we loaded up the car and everyone went back is because we thought we might be saying goodbye. So we get back. this poor dog, he's so drugged up, and, you know, we're kind of trying to figure out what's going on with him. This thing does not want to be there. He has no use of his legs, but, of course, he's kind of wobbling his head. He's coherent. And he basically rolled out of that kennel as soon as they opened up the gate just so he could get close to us. And, you know, the doctor starts talking. He's like, well, you know, if you take him home, here's, we got medicine for you, but if he starts doing this and this, and he kind of like acts like he's going to leave it up to a question if we're going to go through with, you know, putting him down or taking him home. And I'm looking at my dog down there just kind of looking up at us, and it's like, hell no, I'm not going to put him down. But look at him. I mean, you know, he's not suffering right now. He doesn't look like he's seizing to me. Of course, not that the vet was really putting it on the line like that, but he had kind of tossed it out there. I think he wanted to make sure we were up for, you know, the road ahead of us. And I said, yeah, my oldest daughter, she was a vet tech. She knows a thing or two. So, you know, because they gave us the stuff, we got to put up his butt if he starts seizing again. Other than that, he's on seizure medicine. He's back. His blood work was fine, so he didn't get into anything that he shouldn't have. It wasn't like that. Said it was completely neurological. I have no idea what that means, but apparently we just put him on seizure medicine, and if he's okay, he's okay. He could be okay with that for a few years, could be a few months, and then we may have to switch it up. But the bottom line is dogs that have these seizures are still known to live pretty long lives. So we're thinking we're still going to – oh, and he is back to his ornery self, by the way. He had a rough night that night, but we could see him progressing, and he kind of we're pretty sure he just had to metabolize all that stuff they were giving him. So he's back to his normal self, and now we are now the proud owners of a very expensive dog who has to take seizure medicine 3 times a day now. So he is still with us. Oh, that's my story on that. Now back to your regularly scheduled Christmas program.
Well, my Basset Hound, talk about dogs, my Basset Hound is 16 years old, and because of David's work schedule tomorrow and everything, and, you know, she's getting older, it's getting harder for her to get around. I don't know how much longer we're going to have Maggie, you know, and it just breaks my heart, you know, and with the cold temperatures and everything. We just took him to the doggy daycare for a couple of days just to keep him, because our house right now is so, our house is so small that it'd be so hard to bring in Rex, who's like 50 pounds, you know, a shepherd mix, trying to run around in the house. And poor little Maggie, she can't even, she's bumping into everything, you know. So we figured, well, we'll put him in doggy daycare for a couple of days, because I thought I was going to have to make a trip to my mom's, you know, which I may still have to do, and I don't know. And that's why we put him in for just a couple of days, just because of the cold temperatures. And we didn't want him in the house all day long, running around in the house all day long, you know, so without being able, nobody here to take care of him. So, but, yeah, it's going to break my heart the day we have to make that decision about Maggie. So I can sympathize, you know.
Yeah.
It's never easy. Never easy when you got to make that decision to put your fur baby down, you know, so.
I can't do that with dogs. I can bury cats and goldfish and people all day long, but dogs are no-go. I'm looking back behind me, and Misty's sitting here at the window looking at me, and I'm like, oh, Christ, man. Come on, dude. You're on it. Don't break up, dude. You got this. Seasonal allergies. You crying? No, it's seasonal allergies. It's pollen. It's December, Dave. There's pollen in December. You know, but
no,
yeah,
there's not,
hopefully.
Dave.
Yeah, thanks for calling me out. Yeah, hopefully the dogs will continue on, because dogs have a whole different type of appreciation for you. And I can tell you, if you were to crack open that dog's mind and read its mind, it would definitely say, hey, thank you for doing everything you did, because a lot of people would have gave up. And Tim, kudos to you guys and the family for remaining strong and doing what you do, you know, and making that dog a priority in your lives, because now it's a scheduling thing now every day. So well done. Outstanding. Dr. John, hit me with a Christmas future, young man.
Well, I got a surprise about 4 days ago. My family asked me to come to Winston-Salem for Christmas. I told him I couldn't because I'd committed to work to the 23rd of December, and then on Tuesday morning I've got to be back at the office because I volunteered to open the office for 2 days by myself. But I said, please invite me next year and I'll come. That was a big shock. You don't even have to comment. Yeah. It's taken 11 years to get that invitation. I thought it was interesting. Next.
But you got it.
Well, I did. I'm sorry I had scheduled and everybody had scheduled to be off and I've scheduled to be on. But, you know, got to do what you got to do. But I said, please invite me next year. I'll be there. So there you go.
Yeah.
Next.
Outstanding.
We're done
yeah.
with that one.
Yeah. Well, my future and I've been trying to steel myself through up the whole show without getting shook up about talking about it. So bear with me if my voice cracks a bit, because damn it, I ain't going to do it because I'm a big macho man, hair on my chest, King Kong, baby. I don't show emotion. You know, my folks, we kind of use the Marine Corps birthday and Thanksgiving as kind of like my Christmas with my folks. And where Christmas Eve was always dedicated to my in-laws, Thanksgiving and that week between Thanksgiving and the Marine Corps birthday are always kind of for my folks. You know, we go over there and we watch football and we chow down and everything. My folks are in their mid-70s. And yeah, I'm just going to leave it at that. So, you know, that thought's there with Christmas and everything. You know, you wonder how much you got left. So if you got your parents still around, and if you're lucky enough to have that, cherish it. You know, thank the guy above for that blessing and keep getting it. On the other side of that, here I am now, 52 years old, granddad, the whole nine yards. Lisa has blessed me with four grandkids, which I enjoy periodically. Because I was never real good with kids. I still ain't to this day. I'm the guy that plays with them for about a half hour, and I'm like, okay, get lost, kid.
Yep.
But Rob is 24, and he's had girlfriends in and out and everything. And I've said it. You guys heard me here on the show before saying I'd be lost if Rob, you know, when Rob moves out. For as many people are ready for their kids to get out of the house, me, if Rob moves out, it's like, damn, dude. Because he takes care of so much stuff here around the house while I'm running around between work and everything else. But nevertheless, Christmas future, dude, I just hope one day, soon, he finds my little girl and he graces me with a fistful of grand youngins just like Lisa did. You know, now that Lisa's grandkids, Lisa and Rob, are 12 years apart, so now that Lisa's kids are growing up and getting too cool for the room, I get me a fresh batch of them and perhaps experience another renaissance in my later 50s with my future grandchildren. And by God, if Rob has a daughter, first thing off the bat, she is going to be the Ninja Turtle costume awareness girl on the planet, because I'm going to show her everything about cheering for the bad guys and everything about walking around the house going, woo. So it doesn't matter what it is. If I have a Christmas future, I really, really wish I had. Would it be Rob hooking me up? So, said I wasn't going to get emotional.
It's okay,
it,
Dave. It's okay. Real men do cry. It's perfectly fine.
Who said I was crying? I wasn't crying.
I'm just saying real men do cry, and it's okay for real men to cry.
This isn't a video conference.
Okay for real men to cry.
No evidence.
Nobody's going to take Dave Atwell. Nobody's going to take your man card away from you just because you shed a few tears. Okay.
But I can't be the nature boy if I get emotional. So.
Hey, you know whatever. I mean, I tease my husband about getting teary eyed. We'll be watching a movie or whatever, and he'll get teary eyed, and he'll say, "Oh, I'm not crying." And I'm like, "Yeah, right. Whatever. You know, here's a tissue."
Yeah, the pollen's getting to him, too.
Chicks
huh?
dig guys that cry, okay?
But you're not going to lose your man card if you shed a few tears, okay? It's perfectly fine.
Yeah, dude. I would love to have another batch of grandkids before my fall into the Lord and make them some great grandparents because they deserve it. And, you know, my niece just had Olivia 2 months ago, and I see how happy my folks are when Olivia's around, and she's only 3 months old. So, by God, I would like to give them another batch. But Rob's got to do it. Hell, my days of baby-making babies are way over. So, nevertheless, yes, that is my future Christmas wish. So, real quick, like, because we're already in extra innings, way deep in extra innings, matter of fact, we'll pass it around real quick. Parting shots. New Year's wishes and all that kind of good stuff. Granny, lead us off.
Well, I just hope that you all and have a wonderful Christmas holiday with your family and friends and many wonderful blessings in the new year coming up for 2023. And just everybody stay safe and keep warm, keep healthy, and you know, and I love you all very, very much. So Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to each and every one of you and your families.
Yes, and the same to you, and pass it on to the whole Granny Hulkster crowd, David, Anthony, and the Hounds. Please let them all know big pop culture and, for me personally, big Merry Christmas. And thank you so much for joining us this evening.
You're welcome.
Timothy, hit me up, young man.
I'm right there with you, by the way. There is going to be that sad day, which is why I said there's a dark path. But my folks are older than yours, and, you know, like I said, that's been the one center point we've gone. So when that's not there, you're right. It's going to be a bit of a change. So that's why I take every one of these holidays and try to soak in as much as I can. Because, you know, but nonetheless, try not to end on a sad note. So I do look forward to the new year. I'll tell you one thing I've been doing for the last few years, just because it helps me. Not that I can't stand the holidays, but December just kind of sucks, man. There's so much crap to do. You got to try to, you know, especially if you got anxiety issues like me, it's like your mind doesn't stop racing. So what I've done is I just decompress and I take a week off after Christmas. So that week between Christmas and New Year's, work tends to be slower. So I don't feel as though I'm, you know, missing out on crap that has to get done because a lot of the organization is actually off. So they kind of put what they can on hold. So it's a good time. And, you know, for me personally, for this time around, yeah, of course the Colts suck, and it was really funny watching them lose to the Vikings. That was a shit show in itself. But nonetheless, I'm a Colts fan. I still watch my team. And believe it or not, I'm sure the NFL, whoever's in charge of scheduling, will think this one over next time they give us so many damn primetime games. But believe it or not, we have a Monday night game coming up. So that'll be the day after Christmas, and I'm kind of looking forward to that because that'll be – you know, everything is done. There is always a letdown when I get back home from mom's house. It's like, dang, kind of wish I could have lasted a little bit longer. But, you know, it'll be a nice intro into the week off and just to kind of decompress and hang out with the family and stuff. So looking forward to some football you know, a Happy New Year to everybody out there and a Merry Christmas and all that good stuff. So everybody enjoy your time.
Outstanding. Well said. Yeah. Big Merry Christmas to you and the crowd. I hope you guys have a fantastic, safe, and enjoyable Christmas, man. Thank you again for joining us tonight and all year long. Like I said, since Todd was kind enough to bring you along years ago, man, you've been a fantastic addition to the show. So certainly
do
appreciate it. Absolutely. And I hope you have a great – put that work stuff to the side for a couple minutes. The damn world's going to keep spinning, brother. Trust me. So, my good brother, Dr. John, hit me with some goodbye remarks, if you would.
Comic-Con John is back. We did two Comic-Cons this year. They were both successful. And I currently have 8 scheduled for next year. My business is back.
Yes.
You don't know what a relief that is. I thought I was out of the business for good. And my vendor, thanks to my vendors who've been so nice, I'm back. I couldn't be happier. Now, I got 4 podcasts. I don't know how that happened, but I guess you can take the good with the tough. Tomorrow night.
Don't know how you do it.
Well, tomorrow night we start a brand new one. It's called Old School Horror Films. At the same witching hour, 9 p.m. So join us, listen. It'll be fun. And here's the deal. It's something that I don't have to prepare for because I mean, you know, I'm 147 years old already, and I've seen them all.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I can just go from memory.
Ones, right?
Do what?
You were there for the silent ones, right?
Yeah. I got an announcement to make. I am producing a silent horror film in March.
Awesome.
At the Nightmare Factory in Havelock. All the roles are cast
for it.
And it, pardon?
I said, I'll write the script for it.
You'll
should be fairly easy.
Oh, okay. And I'm proud to say Sonya Thompson from The Walking Dead is starring in Dracula's Guest.
Outstanding.
We are making Dracula's Guest because I'll tell you what, a silent film's a lot cheaper to make because you don't have to worry about the audio. So that's why I decided
right.
to do one. It's going to be fun. It was one part of my bucket list, and so then we're going to send it around to the film festival circuit. We'll surely win one or two film festivals and go from there. Signing off for 2022 on Pop Culture Stars. I'll be back next year.
Yeah, outstanding, and thank you. Thank you again for joining us this evening. Man, it is good to have you back here
hanging out with
us. I don't
it's
have
official. I'm hanging back. I'm here.
It's taking the pressure off of Granny Hulkster for all the wise-ass comments I get to throw on you instead of her, so it's good to have you back.
And you know, I actually just don't care. I just let them go right around me.
I know, and that's what makes it so much of a challenge. One of these days I'm going to say something that really gets under your skin, and, you know, I'm going to apologize genuinely for it, but in the meantime I'm going to walk around the corner and go, hot damn, I finally pissed them off. But, no, you are a wonderful, most cherished friend, and I sure do appreciate you joining us this evening. And throughout all these days, weeks, and years that me and you have been knowing one another and doing what we do. So, yes, thank you, Dr. John, for joining us this evening.
Sure, sure. We're back.
For me, the New Year thing, we covered enough of the Christmas wishes. The New Year thing for me, oddly enough, something about the threes. My life, something about the threes. In 83, we did a big move. I was 13 years old. I didn't transition well. 1983 was kind of a wreck for me. 1993, I was going through a very difficult divorce and was spiraling out of control and was in a deep, deep, dark, ugly place. which I am very thankful I am no longer in, and it has made me a better man because I survived it. But getting through it was marginal at best. Fast forward to 2003, I lost my best friend at 38 years old over a blood infection that he received getting some dental work. It's not every day that a 33-year-old guy buries his best friend. Nevertheless, I had to do it. And, you know, that was a big changing point in my life where I started trying to look at the good in life and instead of being angry all the time. So fast forward to 2013, it was probably one of the worst years of my career due to things going on in the workplace. So 2013 was just a total disaster. So here we are bravely going into 2023, and I'm hoping and I am praying to any God that is willing to listen. I don't care if it's God or Odin or Allah or whoever in the hell wants to step up to the plate and help a brother out, that I break the cycle this year. And by God, I am going to try my hairy little ass off to make 2023 a year that breaks the cycle. And I'm going into it cautiously, but I'm not going into it defeated like I have in the past. I'm going into this year with my gloves up, and I'm going to do everything I possibly can to make 2023 the best freaking year I've ever had in my life. And everything is there for it to happen. I just got to get in there. So, yeah, here's me giving the middle finger to all the other 3 years in my life and bravely going into 2023, ready to kick some ass and putting the past behind me and having nothing but good times ahead. So, Happy New Year to all of you guys. My pop culture stars family. You guys know I talk to you more than I talk to my damn family and my neighbors sometimes. Love you guys to death. I hope you all have a safe, wonderful, and enjoyable holiday. Oh, and here comes Rob with Violet. You got to pee again, chick?
Hello, Violet.
I swear. Hey, Violet. Everybody says hi, Violet. This dog's getting so damn big. So, I am going to shuffle back into Atwell Manor, see if I get through that janky back door. Hey, Mika, you got the back up, baby.
Hi, Mika.
I am going to do a crowdfunder for this door. Oh, my God. There we go. Oops. All right. Come on through, and I'm going to sign off. Outstanding. You good? And there goes Violet. Hey, you going to say hi to everybody? Okay.
Hello, Violet.
I tell you what, this dog is turning into a behemoth. She is huge. All right. So let's see if Spectrum came through with the internet service. Hey, I still got service. Hot diggity damn. All right. With that, we're going to end this broadcast here for the year. Pop culture stars, we hope everybody has a fantastic, safe holiday and the best, happiest, and most productive 2023. Love you guys. Todd, Velvet, all you guys. We miss you much. Best holidays to you. And we will talk to everybody sometime next year. Thank you. Thank you.
Bye, y'all.
Bye. Good night, everybody.
Bye. All right. British lady. Sign us off for 22, babe.